The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix Podcast. Tune in today.
The Fold is brought to you by oOh!media, making brands unmissable and public spaces better across Aotearoa. Nau mai, hoki mai, kia The Fold, e mihi nei, kua dunghungri, tōku ingoa. My guest today is Jane Ormsby, who is the founder and CEO of Scroll Media. They basically sit between publishers and clients, and often publishers and the media agencies who place advertising on behalf of clients in New Zealand. And what makes Scroll different is that they bundle together a bunch of independent publishers, not the spin-off, but like the spin-off, that often just don't make a schedule for a big campaign. You know, what we've seen over the last 20 years is the complexity of reaching people raise enormously, and the number of places that a brand could plausibly advertise and types of advertising they could do have a similar kind of ratcheting effect. And so it's quite easy for a planner at a big media company just to put a bunch of money with Google's Ad Exchange or with Meta's suite of products and call it a day, or maybe put in some radio, some television. And so for small independent publishers, smaller but still huge, as you know, spin-off, massive organization, kind of a, but you know, big passionate audiences, they just get missed by because of the sort of nature of the way that the industry is wired. Yeah, so that's the proposition ultimately for Scroll, is that put a bunch of independents together, stack them up, and they're as big as a big publisher, and that they can sort of sell on our behalf, tell us our collective story on our behalf to media agencies, and therefore get some of the big campaigns which might otherwise completely bypass these sort of smaller New Zealand publishers, and help make the life of these publishers a bit more viable. We're recording this on Thursday, the 7th of March, late morning, and TVNZ announced a few hours ago that it was going to be what it was proposing to lose 68 staff, roughly 10% of its workforce. That's a week after the massive changes, the hundreds of jobs proposed to be lost at Warner Brothers Discovery, including the elimination of News Hub. That's heavy in the air. This is the environment in which we're all operating. So it did seem like a great time to have this conversation with Jane, who knows a huge amount about this. It's a hard thing, and we talk about this on the podcast. When you talk to people who work in marketing or communications at these big companies, they express such huge dismay at what is happening within journalism, within publishing, and yet it's so frequently the money from big campaigns just never makes it to publishers, or when it does, it's so small as to be kind of negligible. The spin-off's really, really fortunate. We've had the support of a group of companies like the Fold sponsor, oOh!media, where they've stuck around a long time and they make a substantial investment in our audience and in our content, in our people ultimately. And they think that what we offer is different. But still, if it weren't for that group of loyal brands that we work with, we're not really plausible as a company. And so there is something really interesting to me about the idea of Scroll helping make a group that can sort of disappear off schedules, making them visible again. So this is what we talk about. We sort of dig really into the weeds of this business, and it's a really good time to be doing it, because you can just see what is happening to the New Zealand news media at the moment. It is really, really difficult. There are some huge institutions, some you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of years of journalism experience that is just sort of vanishing in front of our eyes, and there is no good reason to expect it to ever be replaced unless you sort of see a step change from, you know, and it will be a lot of things, not a single thing, but certainly part of the issue is one of whether it's media agencies or brands just sort of pushing onto a Google and Meta products and not really considering what it is they're supporting along the way. So that's a big part of what this discussion centres on. Really, really enjoyed it. This is Jane Ormsby, founder and CEO of Scroll Media on The Fold. Tēnā koe, Jane. Welcome to The Fold.
Thank you for having me.
It's not auspicious, but it's a very interesting, sadly, time to be talking to you. We record this, I think it's about an hour since a press release went out announcing 68 job losses at TVNZ, and a bit over a week since the proposed closure of News Hub was announced. What have you made of those announcements yourself?
Well, and it was a real shock. I've had a few friends at News Hub that were involved in it, and I think everyone was pretty blindsided by the decisions that were made. And I just think it's, you know, you feel for all the people who are now thinking about their families and their careers and their jobs that they won't necessarily have that they thought they had. So it is a real shame. I know that it is just the challenges we're facing with media at the moment, how people are turning to their phones a lot for all information instead of television. And so there is a lot of shifts in consumer behaviour towards PCs and laptops and mobile phones. So I think it's just harder for, you know, big TV companies to make money now. So and a lot of them, like TVNZ's been incredible how they've adapted to digital, and I just think it's just really hard now to produce really great content and then also find advertisers to support that content when the audiences are going down. So it's, every week there's something new happening in media, which kind of makes it exciting but kind of makes it stressful as well. So it's a really interesting time at the moment.
I mean, there's this critique that sometimes gets levelled by politicians that media has, you know, hasn't innovated enough, and that's the reason why we're sort of seeing these job losses. You know, to me, as someone who works in the news media, I've never found that a particularly compelling critique. There's been a lot of innovation, but we don't really control the sort of, you know, aspects of the interface with the customer, or certainly where the value sits. What do you think about that sort of innovation piece and you know, how complicit media is in its own, or news media is in its own situation?
I think all the news media in New Zealand and Australia have been very adaptive to the changes. I think it is just really expensive to produce good content, and I think the more people we can have supporting it with subscription models, then the better the whole industry will be. To your point about the government, I think when I heard the news recently of News Hub, I thought, God, we need to set up some kind of incentives for advertisers to spend on local sites, so local New Zealand news sites, because what's happening is with programmatic, there's a lot of spend that's going offshore to the likes of Meta and Google, and there's not a lot of incentive for the advertisers to spend on local publishers. So if there was some kind of a tax rebate or something that you could get if you were investing in New Zealand media, like there's some really good media companies in New Zealand that are producing great content, and I think the government should incentivise advertisers to spend locally rather than sending it all offshore where international global magnates like Google and Meta don't actually pay a lot of tax, and that's kind of not helping the New Zealand economy.
So in terms of that, I mean, I want to talk about Scroll and your net journey there, but just before we move to there, what if you were to sort of try and boil down why it is that New Zealand-based advertisers are choosing Google's and Meta's products over local publishers, you know, just to a layperson, why would you say that's happening? Because it feels overwhelmingly true as a local publisher.
Mm. I think it's the efficiency of programmatic. So it's really cost effective and much more automated to buy digital advertising through programmatic channels, right? So DV360 and all the Google products, which are fantastic. So they make the media agency's job a lot easier because they can account for everything. But what they're actually doing is buying the cheapest media they can find, and they don't necessarily care what publishers they're on. They're just buying what the cheapest sort of display and video media that they can find. And that's kind of bringing the whole industry cost per thousand yields models down. So that's why they're doing it, because it's cheaper and it's more effective. But what they're missing the kind of point that aligning with quality news brands is going to help their brand with brand awareness and with their consumer, and really integrating with it with certain publishers is going to help lift your brand. So, it's also about contextual relevance. So I think a lot of media agencies are just kind of missing that point because they're going for the cheapest, whereas you can get a lot more value for money when you actually integrate with, say, one publisher like, you know, the Herald or Stuff or Newsroom or the Spinoff. So that's where I think that's the problem. That's sort of and I think that's where you need really good salespeople that can actually educate media buyers on why it's important to integrate with specific publishers.
There's so much more in there, and I want to get to it. But before we do, I would love it if you'd just sort of tell me a bit about your background and what ultimately led you on a path to founding Scroll.
Yeah, well, I got into digital media in 2001, back in London. I was over there and I started working for a digital ad network called 24/7 Real Media. So I was there for 3 years, loved it. I was selling to media agencies, which is what I'm doing now. So I've actually sadly been doing it for a very long time. And so I've seen a lot of changes, and it still does come down to just that whole thing of like advertising on premium publishers is going to lift your brand. And so what I've seen over the years is just a lot of changes. So basically I came home from London and saw there wasn't a lot of digital ad networks in New Zealand. So I set up a company called Response Directive, and then I expanded that to Australia. And so that went really well. That was selling across lots of different websites. And then I actually sold that business in 2008, which was fantastic, really good timing. And then, you know, came back to New Zealand and kind of settled down, had kids, and thought I'd never get back into media. But, oh, no, I did. So I went to NZME, which was APN back there. So I helped put a paywall on The Listener, helped set up Food Hub, which is a recipe website, saw the huge changes going on it with, you know, the progression from newspapers and magazines to digital. So really got to understand the challenges that the shift to digital faced with those big media organisations. And then I worked at a Young & Shand, which is a marketing agency. And I just kept thinking there's still a gap in the market for someone to represent independent publishers who don't necessarily want to pay for a big sales force or don't have the technology to run programmatic ads. So, yeah, naively set up Scroll Media. But it's gone really well. So it's been 5 years now, and we've had a lot of changes with the business, but now it's going really well. It's pumping.
So can you just give me a top line of what Scroll's business model is and how it differentiates itself from, you know, the giant competitors that you're up against in some respects, who also bundle different publishers and, you know, effectively sell those to media agencies and to brands?
Yeah, so we do compete with the likes of NZME and Stuff, and then more broadly with, you know, the bigger ad networks. So we see the value of scale. So we've got 25 publishers in New Zealand, I think it's about 30 in Australia, and we can present that portfolio of publishers to the media agencies, and they can pick and choose which ones they want to buy across. So we've got our reach now in New Zealand's over 2 million unique users a month, so then we get a seat at the table where advertisers want to be advertising. And then in Australia our reach is up to 10 million uniques now with Ipsos. So we've got the scale, and then we've also got premium brands that brands sort of have to go through for us to advertise on. So we've got exclusive relationships with those publishers. And some of them are local publishers like Newsroom and KidSpot and Student Job Search, Autotrader, Price Spy. And then we've got the big international publishers like Gameloft, Healthline. So we have AccuWeather, for example. So we've got international and local publishers. And yeah, and then we just sell all the advertising across them. So we say to the publisher, you focus on producing great content and we'll focus on making money for you because we've got the skills and the data and the technology to do that. So we've built some special technology that we can just pop onto the publisher's back end, and then basically that helps them monetize their inventory. And then we also have really good salespeople who go out and sell integrated packages to advertisers. So, yeah.
So one of the kind of critiques of the digital ad market versus the sort of, you know, the linear or you know, print ad markets that it has superseded is that there's a lot of opacity about, you know, the, you know, if you imagine a dollar starting at a brand and ending up at a publisher, because it has to go through potentially quite a number of exchanges.
Yes.
The actual amount that gets to the publisher can be, you know, well below 50 cents in the dollar at times. Mm. And therefore, and a lot of that can be sort of taken up by sort of stacked products from Google, for example.
Yeah.
Which ultimately creates some of the sort of perverse incentives, overly, you know, the kind of, you know, you go to websites and there's a lot of advertising on there. You can see some quite strange things, the sort of Chumbox, Outbrain, Taboola type world. Mm. Is that accurate? And do you know, is that sort of part of the problem you're trying to solve?
Yeah.
Is the amount of the take rate from some of the companies that typically are used by media agencies?
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. I think there is a lot of tech companies now that are involved in the buying process because of measurement reasons. And so what we try and do is work directly with the advertisers or the media agencies. And so that cuts out some of the tech companies. But they will always invariably buy a lot of their inventory programmatically. So that does. And a lot of that, the end, as you say, the end dollar for the publisher is a lot less than that happens, plus the CPMs are a lot lower. So, yeah, it is a challenge, and it is good if you don't have to use all those middlemen in the process. So, yeah, it's when we have a lot of those in-house tools as well that we can overlay to make sure things are, you know, measured effectively. But, yeah, it is a real challenge, really, because it's like you can't really increase the yields but unless you are offering more value, and that's kind of what we try and do.
So CPM and programmatic, and so some of these terms might not be necessarily familiar to aspects of our listenership. CPM stands for cost per mil, basically.
Cost per thousand.
And What is the sort of the floor and the ceiling of that you see in terms of, you know, whether it's products you deliver or you know, the kind of different publishers you work with?
Yeah, I think you've got to like not just focus on just what's the cheapest CPM.
Yeah.
It's more like what's the value that I'm getting from that certain publisher or the end result, because you can track everything in digital, so you can often. What we say to advertisers is don't worry about the CPM so much, just worry about what the time the user has spent online once they've come from a certain publisher or what they've done. So they might have gone through and bought a ticket, you know, or a flight or bought life insurance or something like that. So it's more like the value of that user that you're sending to that
sure.
advertiser. So don't worry so much about people get really hung up on cost per click and it's more like it should really be about the end result, but also about the reach and the there's also the credibility that you're getting if you're advertising with a premium
and
publisher.
I agree with all that.
Yeah.
But still, a lot of advertising is bought on that basis. So I would love it if you could kind of give us just a broad indication of what there's been this idea that CPM has persistently gone down over time, and that's part of the reason that publishers are in the situation they are in now.
Yeah.
So, well,
So I think the solution is just try and hold your CPMs.
What do you think is a CPM? I do want a number.
Oh, a number. Well, yeah. So $6 I think was bandied around as the sort of average CPM nowadays. So the answer to that is it's not just banners. So it's not just display and video that we're talking about. They're quite a commoditized thing now that you can buy programmatically really efficiently. So the trick is to focus on other things that you've got. So you might produce podcasts where you get sponsors to advertise on the podcast. You might have an email database that you could get a brand to sponsor, or you might run a content series that your brand could, you know, run with. So it's more like really tasteful, integrated, sponsored content works really well, because you are going to struggle to keep your CPMs high because it's such a commodity, display banners and video now. So you've got to start looking at integrated packages. And there's some really cool things that a lot of brands are doing, like with certain digital products, because there's a huge audience is going digital. And the other thing, like, for example, we produce mini games, which are branded. So we're not really worrying about the CPM on those. We're focusing on doing really cool gamified content that the advertisers love because they're getting their brand really aligned with the audience. So, yeah. I think that's the answer to that, is just to be creative and focus on things that you can offer that is beyond just focusing on CPMs.
Do you find, that the other part of the equation is the cost of content, as you alluded to earlier, is, it's high and hard to depress with publishers, that you're paying people to make things.
Yes.
And you're paying them to be, to make sure that they're true.
Yes.
Versus the UGC universe where you don't, the cost of content is zero and
people That's right.
are, and there aren't some of the same restrictions. Sometimes I think about that and I go, well, they've got amazing technology and free content that's really dynamic and created by this enormous global market.
Yeah.
Do you have confidence that brands do find your argument compelling, that you should care about where you are and the audience that you're seeing versus just throwing it all into social web?
Yes, because with user-generated content, the challenge you've got is anyone could put anything up, like what my cat had for breakfast, for example. So what advertisers don't want the risk of being around content that could be sensationalist or dodgy. So they don't really want to go near the user-generated content. So we typically would argue that you want to be around premium content. Like, for example, Newsroom has the award-winning journalists that are writing really good content, and sometimes brands can align, you have their content that actually aligns with the publisher's content as well. So yeah, you can charge a lot more CPMs if it's a premium audience. So for example, a business audience, you would pay more for someone to read an article about something that's more premium than, say, something that's a bit more mainstream. So that's the thing. Like, we charge more for higher value content and the banners that sit around that content.
The Fold is brought to you by oMedia, making brands unmissable and public spaces better across Aotearoa, with over 4,000 out-of-home advertising sites nationwide across both street furniture and retail centres. I'm super grateful to oMedia for enabling us to make unmissable connections with Kiwis.
Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
Quite frequently, if you look around the internet and you go to, Daily Mail is probably the top of this tree, but also you see a lot of websites that are geared specifically around sort of arbitraging their ranking within search engines. And, you'll open a page and, yes, there might be a recipe or some, regional travel information, but it's absolutely drowning in, like, there might be three or four autoplay ads on silent, just sort of clustered around the screen. There are ad units everywhere. And quite frequently, they're quite premium advertisers, you would expect. And And even, you know, like you might see a Waka Kotahi anti-drink driving ad, and it's sort of auto-playing in a tiny box, and you can't imagine that it's remotely effective. That's not necessarily ad fraud, but it rubs right up against it, I would have thought. How much of the industry does sit in that bucket, and how do you avoid, you know, going down that path of just of sites that are essentially geared to just mass serve ads and don't the content is almost lost amongst it?
Yeah, I think that's the challenge with a publisher now. They've got to make sure that they don't saturate their sites with too many ads, and some of them really do, but the user will then be put off. It's a bit jarring to have too many brands at you, so they'll, you know, they soon would shift elsewhere, because there's nothing more annoying when you're reading a good article and things pop up at you. So it's about having maybe less is more, like having less ads but making them premium and aligning them. So it's about context. So if you've got the ads need to be relevant to what the content is that someone's reading, and then they're more likely to then say, oh, yes, that makes sense. So if someone's reading an article on Healthline, for example, about, you know, coughs and colds, and you had like an ad for a cough and cold treatment next to it, then that's great context. And that's kind of what we're all about at Scroll Media, is aligning brands with the content and things that make sense, rather than just heaps of ads on you know, trashy content. That's kind of not our gig.
Do you find that there are particular formats that are rising and falling with advertisers at the moment?
Yeah, so video, vertical video is big now. So as people are scrolling on their phones, the videos that come up, they get high attention times. So video it's been growing for years, but it's still really favourable. The smaller mobile ads are kind of going out of, they're not as
the sort of 300
commodity.
By 250.
Yeah. they're a bit, people just ignore them. I think the skins, so the homepage takeovers, they are great. Like, they work really well, and we always sell out of those. Brands love to be, you know, they're on the homepage of something with a skin around the site. And then, as I was saying before, like gamified ads, there's quite a big demand for those. So because gaming's such a big thing now, that if we gamify an ad, so we make it a bit of fun for the advertiser. So things like that are becoming a lot more popular.
Are there formats for, you know, we're a text-based publisher, that's the lion's share of what we do on our own platform, and it doesn't feel like there's been a huge amount of format innovation within there. Which, again, and when you're sort of competing with the whole internet kind of thing, that you can see why the CPMs get depressed to the point where it's hard to imagine ever recovering the cost of content production. Do you see that there are promising format innovations that work in that context, especially given the move to mobile from desktop, where for example, a homepage takeover is much less effective?
Yeah, I think, again, like things like video work really well on mobile, so short-form video, because people's attention spans are so short. So Playground XYZ has a lot of really cool formats that are great for mobile, so they'll be skinning the page, or it could be a background wallpaper you could do on mobile. And yeah, there's the challenges, because the IAB and the Internet Advertising Bureau, they set the formats, and everyone sort of has to comply with them, because otherwise, if you try and be too radical and have a different size, that not all advertisers can get the creatives to make that size. And so you've got to kind of conform to the standard sizes, but what you want to do is try and do the bigger formats, so the larger sizes are going to have more impact and resonate more. Yeah, so the bigger the ad, the more you can charge effectively. Yeah.
Like, one of the things which, you know, we sort of get told as a small publisher is that part of the reason that the big platforms, the you know, Google suite of products and so on, and Meta's, is that they have amazing marketing science, and that they can prove outcomes in a way that small publishers might drive similar outcomes, but they can't prove it in the same way. To what extent is that sort of proof piece part of what you offer, and how much of the sort of missing margin or missing clients are sort of because of that, do you think?
Well, I think it depends what the advertiser is trying to do. So if you're trying to build a brand, you don't want to look too short-term, and you don't want to just be buying the cheap inventory. So you want to be aligning with premium publishers and keep that brand out there. Focusing too much on gains is a bit too short-term, and you need to be looking longer if you want to build out a brand. So it's good to do a bit of both. So yes, use all the technology that those bigger tech companies have got so they can measure everything, but then also align with some premium publishers to get just thoughtful planning, really. So thinking long term on where your brand wants to show up and what sort of content and what you want to be around, so that you can be there when a consumer is choosing, like, what sort of car should I buy? What sort of house should I buy? So it's sort of aligning with premium environments is always going to be better than cheap and nasty.
do you feel like? Because it's interesting, we're talking about efficacy and brand safety and, showing up contextually in the right environment.
Yep.
And yet it's also true that the big media agencies are aggressively courted by whether it's media companies or, basically anyone who's got inventory to sell. And you hear stories, which I know for a fact to be true, of, staff being flown to Fiji or, like pizza vouchers. We once had a client approach us. This still kind of blows my mind, who basically pretty brazenly said, we need to get some percentage of your spend back in Prezi cards. This was a government client. And, if you do that, you'll get the contract. We felt like that was ultimately, pretty close to fraud, and certainly it was something that was only ever delivered verbally rather than written down. How much of the, so there seems to be, I guess what I'm trying to get at is there's this kind of credibility gap where everyone talks about doing right by brands, and then you see a lot of evidence that they're actually just trying to kind of sell in quite a different way. Is that your experience or understanding that the media agencies or those people who sit between brands and the publishers, their incentives aren't always as purely aligned as you've been articulating?
Oh, I think back in the day of the good old days of media, you could take clients out for lunch and you could sway them a bit more than you can now. It's actually really different now. It's actually all down to how things work and, like, in terms of everything's measurable. So you kind of, you can measure everything online. And so yes, relationships in the industry are really important, and that's great. And we have face-to-face meetings with our clients all the time. But, we're not really sending anyone to Fiji, unfortunately. And because you've just got to measure everything, and it's all accountable, and CFOs are now talking to the CMOs about their marketing spend, and it's really watched very closely. So you've got to make sure that every dollar you're spending on marketing is you're getting a return. So you can't pull the wool. I mean, these media agencies have been around for years, and so they know what they're doing. And I think they have a lot of smart people, and they do rely on technology, but they're also relying on us to educate them on where they should be advertising as well. And it's also the whole marketing mix. Like, there's so many places to advertise now. There's TV, there's online, there's newspapers, there's everything, there's billboards. So it's sort of working out what channel is going to work for your brand. And every brand is really different, and every category is different. Like, there's, car brands are very different, than, say, toothpaste brands, for example. So it really is about understanding a brand and where you want to go with it from a marketing perspective.
Do you deal direct with brands, or is it typically the big agencies?
It's interesting now. A lot of these big brands are taking their smarts in-house, so they do want to plan things in-house, but they will usually lean on their agency to book and buy the media and negotiate and run it and make sure it delivers and do the reporting. So all of the tricky stuff, they will lean on their agency, but usually they want to know exactly what's happening with their media spend. And so I find if you've got a relationship with the agency and the media buyer, that's going to really help you. Like, if you've got all stakeholders involved, there's nothing worse than just relying on one stakeholder and thinking you're going to get a deal over the line and then realising that someone else didn't agree. So you've actually got to be it's a delicate line. You can't be stepping on in the media agency's toes, but you've definitely got to make sure that the client understands what they're buying, because you know, it's their money. But, yeah, you've just got to just – and so we do things like we have events. So we'll host events, like we're having a gaming event, you know, to talk about how you can advertise around games. And so that's an example of, you know, we'd invite clients to those events, but we certainly would always say to the clients, you know, make sure that you book this through your media agency. And occasionally they do go direct, but, yeah, they usually don't – they usually don't want to get too involved in the actual – you know, the admin of it all, so they usually use an agency. But yeah, there's the odd one that doesn't, and that's, yeah, that's. But that's where I do, you know, it is really handy. The New Zealand industry is quite small, there's a lot of events that we go to, and so we get to know people in the industry. And also people move around all the time, so you can't, you've got to, like, people are moving agencies and moving publishers and moving clients all the time. So it's quite a small, fantastic, vibrant and really fun industry with some really good people. I love it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, like, and that's my experience of it too. You know, when we go to an event, whether it's the Beacons or any of the Creative Side Awards, it is, there are fantastic people there. I guess what I'm trying to get at is, like, because our experience as an independent publisher, and we're 10 years old and we've got no complaints about the sort of ride we've had, but equally there are dozens, hundreds of campaigns which feel like they're relevant to us. I'm using our own example and our own experience, because that's obviously the thing that I'm most familiar with. But that you see on particular platforms, or you know, they might be on Outdoor, and you see a bunch of them as pre-rolls on other sites or on YouTube, and they never show up for an independent publisher. And the sort of sense is that it's a bit too hard to buy. And that's obviously part of the thesis for Scroll, is we'll make it easier because we'll put a bunch of them together. And I guess that the what I'm trying to sort of figure out is, you know, because there are so many people in between the brand, you know, because we're talking about a media agency, they need to get paid. We're talking about Scroll, which needs to get paid. There's often, you know, there's the sort of, you know, these events which you're talking about, and certainly, like, as much as you talk about the good old days, but these trips to Fiji were happening last year, you know.
I missed out.
us too, which is fine. But, you know, it just does feel like there's a lot of stuff in the middle that ultimately someone is paying for that is part of why the publisher versus the brand, like, that there's a hollowing out that happens in the middle.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point, and it's actually the reason why Scroll exists, to be honest. So it is really hard for independent publishers like yourself, as you know, to make money. It's hard for big publishers to make money, like, you know, look at News Hub. So we exist because we have got the ability to sell across lots of different publishers and make them money. That's because it's very expensive to run a sales team and to be getting, you know, into all the agencies. It's hard for one publisher to go into all the media agencies. There's so many of them and there's so many advertisers, and so to get across all of them, it's really hard. Whereas we can get in with all the media buyers and advertisers because we're bigger and we've got the scale and we've got so many. We've kind of got something for everyone. We've got Auto Trader, we've got Price Buy, we've got Otago Daily Times. So we have a lot of different brands that we represent, so we can get a seat at the table. So that's why Scroll exists. And we can also help international publishers like Gameloft, for example, sell across, you know, Australia and New Zealand, because we've got all the relationships. Because it is hard, and it's taken us years to get to the sweet spot, but now we employ really good people who understand the different genres. Like, for example, we just employed someone from Twitch last week. So that's what we're all about, is not just employing really good people, it's also having the technology, so in the smarts, to be able to measure the campaigns, and we make sure that we're educating the buyers on what publishers are going to work for what brands, because it is a challenge. It's huge for one smaller or even bigger publisher to make money in this industry, because they can just divert to programmatic open exchange, just buy the cheapest, like we were saying before.
Because when you talk to people who work in communication or marketing at big brands, which have, you know, those kind of 7-8-figure budgets that have the capacity to really move the needle, they are invariably aghast at what's happening with News Hub, and they invariably see that, you know, for example, less journalism means, you know, that they're, the environment that they operate in is just less fact rich and more, they're just more vulnerable to, you know, whether it's bad legislation, whether it's a rumor starting on TikTok that has an impact on sales, and they've got no ability to resist it. They sort of understand the kind of democratic slash, you know, you want a certain check and balance and, you know, when you've got your stories to tell about cool stuff you've done, that you want to start that with a news organization. All of these things they seem to understand, but, you know, to this point, like I said before, there's still this sense that there's this number which gets put out there that 90 cents in the dollar goes to the digital platforms, or it certainly doesn't end up in the publishers. And there is a sense that while, you know, that the concern that you hear isn't matched by action there, you know, which ultimately flows through to a publisher in a local context. Have you, since the news about News Hub, have you felt any change, any sense that there might be a directive to emphasize things? Will it take, as you alluded to earlier, some kind of incentive for them to say, well, I'm not going to spend more or direct more of my spend towards local publishers just to be a nice person? I must have an incentive beyond that.
Yeah, I think because there was a lot of talk about getting spending on local publishers, but I think it's all very well to say.
It does feel like talk a lot of the time.
Yeah, and
you know,
there's a lot of people. Yeah, so but I think they need to be incentivized somehow. So we should be lobbying to the government to give incentives to advertisers to not spend on the big internationals, as I said before. But to your point before, like Scroll Media, we take a commission from the publisher, so we're not like marking anything up, and we're not charging more to go through us. So that's sort of how we make our money. And I just think that, yeah, I guess it's just a challenge for publishers now, and it's sad that we're not going to have as many media outlets, you know, to choose from. So the stories, you know, a quality New Zealand journalism is going to struggle to get those good stories told. So the end user is going to suffer. So we've just got to do everything we can to support the local New Zealand media industry, really, so that good stories can get told. Because there's some fantastic journalists out there that are producing really good content. So it's then finding the brands that want to work with them. And there are really good brands that want to work with premium publishers, so thanks to them, I've got to say.
Yeah, it's interesting, right, because there's also, you know, a school of thought within marketing is that you don't want to be next to news. You know, there are people who have if Trump's in a story, then they won't advertise alongside it. So this thing gets complicated really quickly, but we've sort of dug into the weeds of it for a while. Do you, you know, in closing, there is a lot of, you know, there's a bad vibe in the air in the local publishing scene right now for obvious reasons. Do you have, and yet you run a business which, you know, on some of all businesses are run on hope to an extent. Are you optimistic that in the sort of medium term this might recover, or this kind of a moment can be a catalyst for change, and if so, why?
Oh, definitely. I'm very optimistic about the future of media in New Zealand, because you've just got to be really agile and be quick to move with the changes. Some of the bigger corporations struggle to do that because it's harder for them to make quick decisions. So, for example, a really good, you know, like sport is a really healthy category for brands to be around. There's not a lot of concern about, you know, saying Trump happening in a sports ad. So there's always brands that want to align with sport, and so we just focus on you know, where audiences are looking, and so then we can monetize that inventory. So there's, you know, and that's why we've got into gaming. So gaming advertising is basically growing by 9% the spend on, because the consumers are playing games. And when I'm talking about games, I'm talking about, you know, someone at home playing Wordle, or it could be like someone playing Fortnite. So there's a huge, it's a huge channel that I could talk about all day long. And so, yeah, so we're very future thinking. We know it's going to keep changing, and we know that consumers are going to keep changing their habits, and you just got to be up, you know, quick to change and open to changes. But yeah, people are always going to need news, they're always going to need entertainment, and they're always going to need digital platforms to access that content. So just got to keep doing what you're doing, Duncan.
Totally. Yeah. And you know, we're very fortunate that we've had brands often working direct with us for a long period of time that have provided a bedrock of support that's propelled our growth. But I absolutely see the need for no one is ever going to have a sales team that can sell all of their inventory. Mm. And Scroll can fill a really vital role in that, and you know, anything that kind of gets people more aware of the independent publishing scene and, mm. and what we provide is obviously really valuable. So, yeah, thank you for your work and for coming on The Fold today.
No, it's been great. Thank you for having me. It's been good.
That was The Fold, brought to you by our partners at oMedia, making brands unmissable and public spaces better across Aotearoa. Huge thanks to oMedia for sponsoring this episode of The Fold and enabling us to make unmissable connections with Kiwis.
Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today. The Spin-off Podcast Network.